Welcome to Fun with Scotch, episode 34. Tonight we're going to be talking, I'm John.
I'm Judy.
I'm Marlis.
Okay, and tonight we're going to be talking about three of the older distilleries in the United States. And we have Maker's Mark, Elijah Craig, and Jim Beam. And for the Jim Beam, we actually have two offerings. We have the repeal batch and then their original
white label.
Yeah, white label. Okay.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, if you notice difference in our tone, it's because we are once again Zooming. Thank you, coronavirus. So...
None of us has it. We're just...
Nobody has it. Well, we don't have it.
Social distancing again.
Yes. So, Marlis, you have some historical information for us today.
Yeah, I was doing my pre-podcast research, and I went onto the Whiskey Wash website, and they had a really interesting article about the contribution of African Americans to the history of bourbon. So I'm not going to try and... synopsize everything that was there, but it's a very difficult period to research because of slavery, and many of the traditions are oral and very few things are recorded. But a lady who is a professor of African American studies at Kentucky State is working in that area, and I just wanted to highlight a couple of the facts that she had pulled out. There's a Kentucky slaveholder, Stephen Chastain, who leased out an unnamed slave services to a Kentucky distillery for $114 a day, a sum surpassing the going rate of that period for any white day laborer. So you know he had some special skills. And then there's the story of Nearest Green, the slave who taught Jack Daniel how to make history, how to make whiskey. Sorry.
Well, he taught him how to make history as well.
Yeah. And he surely wasn't the only slave to become a skilled distiller. Making whiskey was a lot of work, and it was kind of nasty. There was a lot of fire and all sorts of other things involved, so that it would be relegated to the slaves often on a plantation. And then in modern life, a lovely lady named Elmer Lucille Allen in 1966 became Brown Foreman's first African-American woman chemist. She served in that role for 31 years before retiring in 97 to become a noted ceramic and fiber artist. So this is a cool lady. Anyway, the conclusion is that bourbon is a very American whiskey, and it has a very complicated and complex American history.
All right. Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to start us off, aren't you?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, in 1789, Elijah Craig, a Baptist minister, my kind of Baptist, he's established a distillery, and he is often called the father of bourbon, being that he was supposedly the first one to take the regular corn whiskey or moonshine and aging it in a charred oak barrel. Now, there are many people who dispute this, and I'm not going to weigh in on either side, but it is one of the very early distilleries in the area, and is very well known. Okay. Now, what we're tasting today is just their basic Elijah Craig small batch. There is no age statement. According to their website, that it has been distilled between 8 and 12 years. The distiller said they used to just issue a 12-year small batch, and they said they stopped that because they were running out of their 12-year aged whiskey. So by adding some of the younger whiskey, they could extend their supply. So anyway, we will see what we think. No. I have to say I've had this one before and really liked it. But
I think I've actually had both of yours before.
Oh, okay.
But not together.
Yeah, we've never done any kind of comparison.
And John's afraid that I have these in the wrong order. But
I misunderstood again.
So from the nose, you're supposed to get some vanilla, some sweet fruit, and mint. Now, it's very fruity.
Yeah, I don't know that I I'm smelling the mint, but I definitely can smell the vanilla and sweet fruit.
Definitely smoky. So if he did give us the charred barrels, I think we should all be grateful.
Yeah.
Kind of burns my tongue.
Yeah, it's got some heat.
Yeah, it does. There's some heat in the nose, too, which was making it hard for me to really discern a lot of the more subtle smells that are there.
How to tell you don't have coronavirus.
Yeah.
Do a whiskey tasting. If you can't taste or smell those, you're in trouble.
Right.
All right. One of the things that you're supposed to be able to taste is nutmeg, and I'm not sure I'm getting that. But on the other hand, there's nothing that doesn't that tastes like not nutmeg, I suppose. So. Well, I'm trying to imagine how to. I don't eat nutmeg that often. Mostly in eggnog. So I'm like, I can see this eggnog.
Well, yeah, the whiskey would or the bourbon would totally go into nutmeg. I mean, not nut. Lord have mercy, into eggnog.
Eggnog, there you go.
Yes.
Can who hasn't?
I think it's one of the traditional.
Which one of us hasn't misspoken tonight? Okay.
John has been doing pretty well.
I don't know.
Well. You know, just full disclosure, I'm not the biggest bourbon fan, so, and I usually find most of them just too strong tasting for me, but, I mean, you know, I don't usually turn it down either.
No.
So, I mean, this one is, I think,
a pretty caramel color.
Yeah, pretty caramel color. Actually, all of these have a nice color to them, I think. I like it. It's just... I'm still a Scotch person, I guess.
Well, and it is sweet, but the sweetness doesn't linger. I think the aftertaste, I might like better if it was a little sweeter.
You mean the finish? Aftertaste sounds bad. It's like, that's true. That's got quite an aftertaste.
Yeah, that doesn't. That,
it's kind of like odor, you know.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, you know, Elijah Craig, you're good. You're good, Elijah. And the next one is the Maker's Mark.
Well, we'll see. In 1783, the Samuels family, which claims the title of the oldest bourbon family still going strong, began to produce bourbon, actually. They evidently had a secret family recipe. And they constructed a distillery at Samuel's Depot, Kentucky, where the family made a business of bourbon. They didn't actually start making Maker's Mark until 1943. They were kind of closed down during Prohibition, or at least officially. And Bill Samuel Sr. burned the famous family recipe, and he wanted to create a bourbon without the bitterness. And so he created Maker's Mark. So the company is now in the hands of his son, Bill Samuels Jr., who continues the family bourbon tradition. So, Maker's Mark. And I'm a sucker for the bottle with the red wax.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the bottle. But
you just got a mason jar, but
The jars you gave me weren't even mason jars.
All right. They
were. I have a Reba. I should put pictures of this on our Instagram.
I know.
Something that says Ariba on the top. I'm not sure.
I think it was salsa. Yeah.
Oh, salsa. Okay. That makes the pictures on top.
Salsa jar then, yeah.
And then lingonberry preserves is the other one, where at least I gave you a real whiskey bottle. What happened to those whiskey bottles that we were passing back and forth?
Well, I didn't think we were going to be Zooming anymore, so I recycled them.
There you go. Yeah, that's what happens.
We'll I'm giving. I am ones. Currently giving Marlis my really look.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to get some more little bottles so that we can.
Yeah.
And then if you throw them away, I will have to beat you.
All right.
Okay. So Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
Is the smell from the smell the aroma of Maker's Mark is very distinctive. I feel. I don't know that. Anything
it's
else?
Not as alcoholic.
No, it's definitely not as strong on the nose.
It has a very distinct aroma. Do we know what causes that distinct aroma?
No, it's supposed to be woody oak, caramel, vanilla, and wheat.
Wheat, huh?
Wheat.
Hmm.
Don't smell it.
Well, I don't know what
reminds
wheat.
Me more of. Like
I'm not sure what wheat smells like.
It reminds me more like corn, you know, almost. And the smell does, I think, more than wheat. But it is a very sweet aroma. It's like candy corn. It makes me think of candy corn.
Oh, I love candy corn. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm finding this less burning on my tongue than the Elijah Craig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a difference in the alcohol on this one?
Well, let's see. The Elijah Craig is 94 proof, and the Maker's Mark is 90 proof.
Oh, so there's a little less.
Yeah, it is a little less. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a straight bourbon. Da, da, da. Hmm. Oh, now this one says, the bottle says in 1953, he burned the family recipe and started over.
Oh. He burned the family recipe and he came back as Colonel Sanders with his secret Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh.
What?
I'm starting rumors.
It's another Kentucky.
Oh, man.
What is it about? Sorry.
That's our puppy dog.
For some reason, she's decided that it's time to bark.
Yeah.
She doesn't usually bark, and she was quiet and sleeping all day long with me today. And
it's probably her dinner time.
I fed her.
Oh, well, it's probably her second dinner time then.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks anyway.
Maybe she wants some bourbon. You want some bourbon?
I seriously doubt it.
All right. Anyway, she might not bark anymore. She's not much of a barker. But anyway, you know, usually I don't like Maker's Mark. The few times I've had it, but for some reason it is not so bad today. I don't know why. Not so bad. That doesn't sound very good. I mean, it's not bad. It just doesn't appeal to me as much as other things.
Most days. No, I like it. I get some caramel out of it. There's a little bit of fruit. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking it a lot right now. I like the Elijah Craig too, but it was a little stronger. And you know, when you say what you said, nutmeg, right? And I was thinking when you said nutmeg, I felt like I could taste it then, but I don't know if it was just the power of suggestion or if I was really tasting nutmeg. But I think I did.
Well, like I said, it would go really nice in some nog.
Yeah, I
would say.
So there you go.
That association.
When Christmas comes around, get yourself some Elijah Craig.
Right.
And some.
Or probably any bourbon.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. All right. Are we on? Are we ready for Jim Beam?
Yes, I think we are.
Oh, okay. Well, Jim Beam has been around. Not quite. I think Jim Beam is the youngest distillery of the three, if I'm not mistaken. It was created in 1795 when they called their creation Old Jake Beam Sour Mash back in 1795. That's a really long name. And they went with that one for a while. And then in 1880, they decided to call it Old Tub, which kind of brings up images of how they made it, possibly. And then Old Tub. And of course, you know, and of course, during Prohibition, they did not make they're not saying, but theoretically, they did not make any alcohol and did not sell any alcohol. And that's the story they're going to stick to, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But in 1943 is when they officially named their bourbon Jim Beam. And they have had that ever since. And it was in the Beam family for, I think, like seven generations. But it is now owned by the Suntory.
Oh.
I think Japan will soon own all of our distilleries. Okay. I'm not sure.
If you can't beat them, join them and then buy them.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, so right now that's Suntory. So what we have today, we have the Jim Beam Repeal Batch Non-Chill Filtered. It is 43% alcohol, which is 86 proof. And they recreated the version of their bourbon that they had right after Prohibition. So this is supposed to be the exact recipe from whenever Prohibition ended. I forgot the date. But anyway.
So this would be, that means that this would probably be the original Jim Beam
recipe. So this would be the original Jim Beam recipe, according to the internet.
Yeah.
We'll trust it today.
Which is always right.
Yeah. It's always right. So let's see. When I saw that, I was like, oh boy, it might be too much for me. But actually, the aroma is
very mild.
Very, yeah, pretty mild.
When I first started smelling it, the thing that came through, strangely enough, is banana.
Well, fruit. I mean, it says, mm-hmm. Well, that's the taste. That they don't really talk about the aroma too much on here.
But it's that kind of mellow fruit that sweet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's...
I don't get it. Now that I've been sniffing it for the last several minutes, I don't get as much. But that was the first.
December 5th, 1933. That's when Prohibition ended.
Oh.
And according to their website, a mere 120 days later, James B. Beam and his family had completely rebuilt the distillery in Claremont, Kentucky, and begun crafting the family bourbon once again. As impressive as his feat was, the bourbon Jim made was even more notable. So they decided to try to create the same batch and the same style as it was made back then, from the liquid right down to the label, it says. So.
Nice. Can you show me the label?
Oh, sure.
Who has the bottle?
It's backwards, but there you go.
Yeah. No, I can read it.
Yeah. It's backwards to us on our Zoom. Right, our end of the Zoom, it shows backwards, but yeah, you're seeing it, right?
Yeah, no, it looks fine. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's a really nice classic label. I like it.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
And let's see, was there something else? Guess not. Guess that was it. All right.
Interesting.
So have you tasted it yet, Marlis?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's very, from the aroma, I wanted something a little mellower or a little,
Yeah, the aroma is pretty mellow.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's tastes fine. It's just not what I kind of was led to believe by the aroma.
Yeah, the taste is that you should be tasting grain, some sweetness, char, fruit, and oak. Very complex, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to be tasting in one.
Well, the oak, certainly.
Yeah, I would say.
And a little bit of char. I can. Yeah, there's some smoke in there.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's pretty spot on, actually. There's not a lot of fruit or unusual flavors in it, but it's. I think it's a really clean, really. Pretty decent tasting, good whiskey.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And oh, actually, I found a note on the aroma. It said you should be smelling oaky notes balanced with light vanilla and a hint of brown spice, as opposed to, you know, orange or red or purple, I guess.
Silver
I don't
spice,
know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what brown spice it means.
Yeah.
Is there a spice called brown spice?
I don't believe so.
Maybe that was the member they kicked out of the Spice Girls. Brown Spice. Who knows? I mean, you know, come on. That's kind of ambiguous. So anyway, it has a nice leg on it there.
I think I know why I'm having a little bit of trouble with some of these is that the last one we did that we haven't put up yet was some of our favorite. The Bendronic, the Benriach, and the Edgador.
Uh huh.
And they are all heavily spiced and have a real sweetness to them. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, and the first two were Sherry Cast finished too.
Oh, so Jack has joined us for our podcast.
Hi, Jack.
Jack is our cat.
Yeah.
Or one of our cats. Anyway, what are you doing? Oh, he's like, I'll come over here and eat some of this cat food. Okay. We have cat food everywhere.
So these are tasting a little harsh to me simply because...
Well, yeah, those others, those are Highlands, right? That we did last time?
I think they're Highlanders Bayside. I guess Edredor is, let's see, now I have to go look it up.
Oh, anyway, but I
just remember they were really good.
Yeah, they were, and they are milder, but they do have some sweetness, and yeah.
I think they were mostly Speyside.
Mostly Speyside? Okay.
Speyside.
I have so much trouble remembering the differences between them.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, they had a lot of wine and...
The sherry casks.
Sherry and that sort of thing in the casks where they were aged.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if it's the difference between mostly corn and all barley. You know, I'm...
Yeah, and I think too that
it would be fun to find.
What? I think
it would be fun to find, you know, a bourbon that is fairly close to Scotch, and then try one of the Speysides that are kind of close to bourbon, and mm-hmm. see if we can identify the actual taste of the grain as opposed to just kind of the component taste that are going in there.
Oh wow! Yeah. Yeah, whiskey grudge match. We could have like, you know, bourbon and Scotch and, you know, I'm not even sure.
We could do across the Atlantic. We could do Scotch and Irish whiskey on one side,
right, yeah.
And bourbon and rye on the other side, and see what.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that would give me an opportunity to, if I can save up enough money, I want to buy a bottle of Welsh whiskey. There's one distillery in Wales that. I'd like to try, but there's nothing to compare it to, so that would be the perfect opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that we've digressed.
Yeah, sorry.
quite a bit. But I think that's why, because, I mean, these are all bourbons, the Elijah Craig and the Maker's Mark I've had before, and I've liked them fine. So I'm just a little, you know, hesitant today, and I think that's why. It was because I keep wanting to taste that fruit. And smoothness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I think that another thing is that the most of the scotches we have had have been in the, you know, I don't know, multi-year aged range in the 6, 8, 10 years, you know, in the aging process. And I think, I know some of these, the Jim Beams, I think, at least the white label, I think is only...
4 years old.
It's 4 years old, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't tasted that one yet.
Yeah.
Did you have something to say about that?
Yeah, the Repeal Batch is 10 years, and Maker's Mark and Elijah Craig both have no age statement, so.
Okay.
So, John, do you want to tell us about the white label?
There's not a whole lot to tell. It's...
it has a white label.
Yeah, it's, you know, the Beam family. I guess their original name was Boehm. And they changed that in the 1700s and moved to Kentucky. I'm not sure where they started out. I think it was in Virginia. And they grew corn, and then they eventually moved to Kentucky. And that's when they started making whiskey. So there's a little piece of history.
The rest of the story.
Yeah. So there you go. Since we're both doing, you know, Jim Beam, there's not a whole lot of anything new to say there.
Well, but. I thought you wanted to talk about the white label. Mm-hmm. What about the white label?
Well, it's 40% alcohol by volume, 80 proof.
So I think it's probably the least...
It's 4 years aged. It's the youngest, probably, of the whiskeys that we're looking at here today. And I don't have a ton of notes other than that. So I think we can just... jump right into giving it a smell and see what we think.
Not a real strong aroma.
No, it's not.
Little rough.
It's even, maybe even a little less or close to the same as the alcohol smell as the Repeal Batch, but maybe a little less.
Mm-hmm.
Well. It says My lovely spouse is showing me
here, let me some make it notes. Bigger.
Yeah, wait. you're looking at some notes here, and it says, for the aroma, we should be smelling oaky vanilla with a spicy backdrop.
Is that when you drop the mic?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. When the Spice
that's
Girls...
That's a mic drop.
When the Spice Girls... Oh, anyway.
No.
Okay, well, anyway. Yeah, it's...
It definitely is mellow. I think it's mellower than the other three.
Yeah, I'm getting, you know, some sweetness and some grain. Not a whole lot of complexity. It's a nice... It's got a little bit of oak. It smells good, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think the flavor is a lot more mellow, a little smoother. According to the website, we should be tasting grain, oak, fruit, char, and sweetness, which is exactly what the other one said. So they just used the same picture.
Pretty similar, yeah.
For all their bourbons, probably. Yeah, I think of the four, this one would be the one I would, if I was given a choice, I would want to have more of. Because the others are just a little harsh for me.
Okay.
The second would be the repeal batch, because I don't think that was quite as harsh as the Maker's Mark and the Elijah Craig. For me. I mean, you know, it's all personal.
Yeah. The Elijah
just
Craig.
Quick sips.
The Elijah Craig, I think, had the strongest alcohol, you know, up front kind of taste. And the Maker's Mark was second in terms of the strength of the alcohol flavor, and the Jim Beam's a little milder in both cases. But you know, I like all four of them. What can I say? I'm easy to please.
I just did a quick sip of all four, one after the other.
Yeah.
And the Beams are definitely milder, but I think I actually I don't know which I like better, the Elijah Craig or the Maker's Mark. They're both tasty, but, you know, my heart belongs to Scotch, basically, in many ways. None of them seem to have the same complexity. I don't know. Is that just my prejudice, or?
Could be. I don't know, but I think you're right.
If it's your prejudice, it's mine too. I actually think you're right that they're not as complex as some of the more interesting scotches.
Yeah.
Now, in some of the Highlands, you know, I could see being on a par with some of the bourbons, less smoky, you know, but a lot of the Highlands are less complex as well. The Space Sides, you know, have a lot more going on, I think. So that kind of gets my vote. But yeah, in terms of these four, I'm leaning, you know, after trying all four of them and then going back around, trying all four of them again a second time through, I'm kind of leaning toward the Elijah Craig.
Uh-huh.
It kind of surprised me. I like it quite a bit after going through all four of them. It's just there's a little bit more there, I think.
I mean, complexity-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You don't always want complexity either. Mm. Sometimes you just want a little...
Well, you got to balance complexity and then the rest of it, which is, you know, does it burn the hell out of your tongue? Things like that. We don't have a straw.
That's
true. I don't have a straw. Marlis is flaunting her straw.
Shame on her.
Straw flaunter.
Yes. Straw flauntress.
Straw, it makes it easier to add small amounts of water to.
I feel like I need to get my...
I mean it about, yeah.
I need to get my levels back up to the same.
Oh,
that's true. I'm going to need a little bit of Elijah Craig there.
I'm getting... These jars don't pour very well, Marlis.
No, I'm sorry.
Wait, this is...
Bad woman.
I have bourbon all over this fine table that you gave us. That was Let's see. Yep. You don't forget to put water in it. Do you need more Maker's Mark?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Looks like I put too much in the
chimney. All right. Such a little science project.
It is. Yeah. So much fun. I love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Cleanse your palate. Drink water.
Okay. Well, I haven't. Yeah, I really need to. Okay. So, okay. Now we've added the water. Let's see what we're going to do now.
I think we're going to take
it.
I think we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I'll be interested, Judy, to see if you think the water helps the first two in terms of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Up a bit.
All right.
Yeah, we're using the lovely Glencairn glasses that Marlis gave me for some holiday. I can't remember what holiday it was. Was it Christmas?
Christmas, I believe. Okay. Yes.
You should remember.
I don't usually give you presents for Flag Day. So,
Well, it could have been my birthday or something. I don't know.
That's true.
No, you don't typically give me birthday presents either. But anyway.
No.
Well, it didn't change the aroma for me at all for the Elijah Craig. I think it toned it down a tad. I want to say I can taste the caramel a little more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it did bring out the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It took the edge off the alcohol and brought out the flavor more.
So this
if you had a normal pour of this with like one ice cube, and let it sit for a bit, that would be just about right.
I think that's so. Good.
It's not as rough. It doesn't want to kind of slap you upside the head. Not that it was terribly rough.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't like that.
Rougher, as they say.
What was that? Was it Brewocladic that we got for our anniversary?
Yeah,
it was 25 year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That did slap you upside the head.
Yeah, that was cask strength.
I think it actually was taking the bottle and hitting you upside the head. and that was before I was, it was like at the beginning of our scotch drinking. So I sometimes wonder, we can't afford it now, but wasn't it like $800 last time you looked or something?
Yeah, I think when
it wasn't $800 when we got it.
When I bought it, I think it was around $250, and now I think it's like $800 a bottle. It's pretty expensive.
So, yeah, we're not getting that again.
That's crazy.
No.
So I will not probably get the opportunity to try that one again.
Probably won't.
To see if I like it better.
Yeah, which brings up the question. I mean, most of these are pretty moderately priced. Mm-hmm. I think the Elijah Craig and the Maker's Mark were both around 30. I don't remember precisely, but that's my guess.
What was the Jim Beam? Was it like 20 or it was pretty cheap.
I think it was in in the
20s. In general, good bourbon is cheaper than good scotch. Yeah.
And the white label we just got in the mini bottle, so we didn't actually buy an entire bottle of that. I went over to the mini bottles I always go and troll the mini bottles just to see if there's something I haven't tried before. And I saw that and I was like, well, why don't we get these to try alongside the repeal batch just to compare.
Yeah, $29.99 is what this place is.
Oh, $29.99.
I thought I was thinking maybe it was around $29.
Yeah, so it's probably about what we typically pay for whiskey in general. Yeah, that would be like a daily whiskey for, and that's in the 750 mil bottle.
Yeah,
right.
It's perfectly good price point on all of these, really. All right, so now we're gonna try.
Now you can pay more, and in fact, for a lot of the local distilleries, you know, because they're small production, they have higher prices.
And that's to be expected.
Yeah,
that's why I was surprised at Edredor, even though it's more expensive than we typically buy. Mm-hmm. I was surprised it wasn't more because they are an extremely small distillery, and you know they do what they do in a year is what a large probably Jim Beam and all of these distilleries do in a week.
Yeah. So So we should probably stop talking about it because we don't want the demand to go so high that it would price us out of the market. That would
Marlis, I don't think that our listenership is enough to do that.
That's true.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's why, yeah.
We're safe.
Now we will be glad that we don't have that many listeners.
Oh, yay. Okay. All right. All right.
But you know what? So, it'd be a great claim to fame if we could say we drove up the price of Edredor. Yeah,
right. Tomorrow.
I know.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, so Maker's Mark.
Maker's Mark with a little water. Again, maybe a little less heat, but I don't know that it does much else.
No, yeah, I think I didn't really see that a whole lot of change on that one. Oh, well.
Guess I'm I'm liking it. But then again, I like the last one, too. I like them all.
Well, and there's always the factor that we've now had several sips of whiskey, so we might just like it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think it burns less. It's got less heat. I'm getting a little bit of honey. Maybe some vanilla. And it's just, it's really warming, but it's not, it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have the heat that was present when we drank it without water in it. It's toned down a little bit there.
Now, if it was a cold and nasty night in November,
yeah,
and you had come in from a long day of work,
yeah,
it might be about right.
Hot toddies, if you're sick, those would be great for hot toddies.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they have their usefulness.
It's good. I mean, it's definitely warming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Which is not something we need right now.
Medicinal purposes. But, you know, yeah, we're here in the middle of summer, so yeah.
Even though today wasn't that warm, at least we didn't do this yesterday.
Today was really nice, yeah.
Yesterday was kind of hot, so. And tomorrow's going to be hot.
That's relative.
Well, hot.
It's going to be 80 tomorrow. For Washington, that's hot.
Yeah, I know.
For our listeners out there who might live in hotter regions...
Yeah, we're 80, really sorry.
80 degrees here is hideous.
I told a friend who lives in New Mexico that I said, no, it's going to be really warm this week. It's up in the 80s. And she looked and she paused and she said, you mean that's your low? I'm like, no. I mean, you're up in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And she's like, 80?
Yeah.
I'm like, well. You know, it's much moister here. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like for instance, today the low is supposed to be 51 degrees tonight. So, you know, just for all you people who are unfortunate enough to live somewhere where it really gets hot, you know,
and doesn't cool down.
Yeah. The Pacific Northwest.
There's like a 20 degree difference in the temperature.
Well, there could be 30 degrees. There could be 30 degrees easily, day and night. You know, and it.
It's usually always nice to sleep around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our family Zoom call this past weekend, you know, my family's on the East Coast, so it's, you know, hot and humid. And I was like, yeah, it was 72 today. It was horrible. I was being sarcastic, of course. It's like we were sitting outside and the sun started to hit us and it was like after a while like, oh, it's getting too warm out here. We better go inside.
Wait, seek shelter.
Yeah, exactly.
But when John and I were talking about that before we moved out here, you know, we would come to visit his family and we remember one year it was like 4th of July or something and it was 80 degrees out and everybody was like sitting under the tree and, you know, like just melting it was horrible. And we're like, wow, this is really nice, you know, because we lived on the East Coast and where it was probably 95 and 95% humidity or something. Yeah. And it was just horrible. Yeah. And we were like, this is really nice because the humidity was low. Yeah.
I think it might have been closer to 90 that day. But my relatives were all like, they were like, completely encapsulated in the shade of this tree that none of them would step outside of it because it was so hot and horrible for them. And I was walking around in the sun. We were both, you know, like standing out in the sun.
This is really nice.
It's like, oh, the sun feels nice and warm. This is great.
You know? And now we're them.
Exactly.
After 20 plus years in the Pacific Northwest, we're like, oh, this is horrible. It's like 80 degrees outside.
We've acclimated. Yeah. there you go.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's all relative.
That's why I tend to go visit my relatives in the fall. Yeah.
A sensible plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jim Beam repeal batch.
With water.
With water. Thank you for clarifying.
Anytime.
People could forget.
But
no.
Darling.
I'm honestly not smelling a whole lot trying to, like, see what kind of nose it has. It's like water with a little sugar in it, maybe.
It is not. I can smell
the aroma.
Do you have coronavirus?
I do not have coronavirus, to my knowledge.
Because it actually burns my nose a little.
I do have about, 4 ounces plus of whiskey in me right now. So
that's true.
There's that.
It's all right, sweetheart. It's all
right. Let's see. Mm. It's very mild, though.
Okay, I just took kind of a swig of it, and that let it sit there for a minute, and then more of the caramel and oak comes out. Otherwise, you can kind of just drink it down, and it's you have to kind of sit with it for a minute.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of the sweetness and the caramel.
Or is it caramel?
Yeah, it's that too.
I never know. Yeah.
I say potato, you say tomato.
That's right.
Right?
Remember, he's had 4+ ounces of whiskey.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, so the rest what of can us, I say? Well, Judy and I, anyway. Not the rest of you, but
they might drink along. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be kind of fun to have a drink along.
Oh, my God, that would be fun.
We could do a Zoom drink along.
How does that work?
You could do a Zoom and you advertise it, and then people could come on. Oh, you tell them what you're drinking, we could all drink it together.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, that would be a Zoom.
That would be fun.
Estrella approves.
That's it.
She just said so. We'll put that in the planning.
Get to have like a wide open
no
Zoom
dogs
party.
Allowed.
And the dog on the lap. That's it.
So this is the white label.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to take a big swig of this.
I think, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Okay, sweet, caramel. Honestly, I'm not sure if I'm getting vanilla or not. And I'm getting sweetness and caramel. That's about it.
I'm thinking it kind of, the water washed it out a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was mild to begin with.
It flattened it.
Well, and it didn't have as much distinctive taste
as
the others to start with. So I don't know that. It would be a good bourbon to mix with, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't overpower your other flavors, and it would just add that little oomph, to it.
Right.
Well, the Elijah Craig and the Maker's Mark were both over 90 proof, and the Jim Beams were both 80 proof. So there's a little difference in the alcohol level. So.
That's true.
They're both milder to begin with, so that probably explains that. But I think they're fine as is without water. If you add water, they're pretty mild, very inoffensive, a little sweet, not bad. They're definitely decent. I like them.
Yeah. Well, and if you've been outside working in your yard or your garden and you're all sweaty and tired at the end of a day and you want to have some Jim Beam over ice just to kind of ease your way into the evening, that would be a very pleasant way to drink it, though.
It would, yeah. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not going to overpower you. It's not going to knock you on your butt, right away or anything.
Yeah.
It's just going to taste like nice bourbons and kind of ease you into the evening.
So I guess of all of these, if you're a beginner, the white label is probably the best one for you. Especially with a white label with some ice or a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm. Or a mint julep.
Huh?
Or what?
Mint juleps. Don't do that. I got so wasted.
On mint juleps?
On mint juleps.
Did you now?
For one thing, it's all alcohol plus sugar water, which just it's cold and sweet. So you just drink those things down and you don't even.
That's like,
kind of like a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah. Or a Belizean iced tea.
Or a Belizean iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
Been there. Had to be carried home from that. So that was fun.
These are good.
I don't know. I think these will be sitting in our, well, for me, will be sitting in the liquor cabinet and will be the thing that I will drink if I run out of my favorite scotches. But I don't think it's something I will run to, you know, first. It's kind of like, you know, like those, when we did the Oregon whiskeys, I had one the other day, I think mostly because we were out of everything else. And it was like, oh, just have some of this, you know.
I remember the Oregon. So I think they had a little more, I don't know if they were sweeter and that's why I like them better. I remember them fondly, I guess. I mean, when they're not right in front of me, it's hard to say.
But. Yeah. And we've tasted so many. After a while, it all runs together.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't remember what I should remember what Edredor is, because that's one of my favorites. But I guess it's because I don't care where it comes from in Scotland. I just like it. I'm like that with pretty much everything in my life. I just like, if I just like something, I don't worry about where it comes from or anything else. I just like it, you know. And Edredor is that one.
Oh, it's lovely. Talisker is lovely. I'm still a big fan of the Islas. I like Jura. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Speysides, some of the Highlands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are many, many tasty scotches. But yeah. And I like bourbons too.
Bourbon,
I'm not so happy tonight, and I'm not sure what it is, but.
Maybe you just have that coronavirus out of sorts thing. Well, my favorite bourbon, I think, would be Blanton's, which is almost impossible to procure. Uh-huh. We did find a couple bottles down in Oregon. When did we go? Is that the last time we went?
Yeah.
Which was when? January, February, something like that. It was before the whole virus thing hit.
If we find more Blantons, we're not telling Ev.
That's true, because we bought two bottles and gave both of them to Evelyn, because that's her favorite.
Yeah, we're getting the next one.
But she did nicely send me a flask with some Blantons in it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that was very nice of her. But it's not like we just gave them to her. She did pay for them. It's not, she took the bottles and ran, you know. Yeah. But that's her favorite. And
That would be understandable.
It would be understandable for Blanton's. And then another coworker who also is a huge Blanton's fan and was at a Safeway up Tacoma way. And just happened to ask somebody, and she was looking for, and they like, can we help you? And they're like, well, we're looking, do you have any Blantons? And then he's like, well, let me go ask the spirits manager. I don't know what they call them at Safeway. And so he went and the guy's like, I'll be right there. And he came and he actually had Blantons in the back. But he didn't have it out for display because I guess that neighborhood isn't big for big on good bourbon. When the distributor brought it, he didn't put it out. So she scored a bottle of Blanton's because they didn't put it out. She sent me a Facebook message saying, look what I got, with a picture of the Blantons, and I'm like, where did you get that? She goes, I'll tell you when I see you next, which was a long time because we aren't at work most of the time at that point. So then she told me the story. She's like, yeah, we were just going around, we're at Safeway, and I just figured I'd ask, and there it was. But down in Oregon, I just happened to find it. You know, they had exactly, I think they had exactly two bottles.
They had two.
We bought both of them because they had two. And then we...
Wow.
All of
and
them.
Evelyn took both of them and paid me for both of them. And, when we go back again, because we can't find it anywhere around here.
Well, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, it's not like we go every day and look, but...
I haven't asked the people at Safeway yet, but I will just start asking at Safeway.
Maybe the distributor left it there as well. Do you check the case that's locked? Yeah. Well, all the cases are locked now, but.
Well, there are more stores are.
But I mean, they have open shelves and then they have a locked case.
Well, how did our Safeway? Are not all of them are locked now, aren't they?
Well, the Safeways are. Some of the Albertsons are not. But they're owned by Safeway, so.
It's weird.
They're all the same.
Maybe we live in a high crime Safeway area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been in my local Safeway for a while, but it seemed to be that they had like, you know, two or three sections of shelves of spirits that were open. It used to be that way. Locked case. Yeah.
But now they're all locked up at our local Safeway.
Wow.
Which is in Tumwater.
Yeah.
And you push the button and it says, what does it say? Help needed at the premium liquor cabinet. And I'm like, and that's when I'm like buying like Clan MacGregor.
Yeah. No, we're buying like, you know, we're buying like a half a gallon of $20 scotch.
You know, and it's like,
yeah, I know.
Every time I hear somebody push that button when I'm in Safeway, I laugh out loud because it's like, there's probably like five premium liquors in this cabinet.
Yeah.
They probably want, you know, a fifth of, I don't know, something really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know my liquors. Yeah. What's that?
Scoresby.
Yeah. Safeway Select something, yeah. You know, and it's just like, that's really funny. But they didn't change the little message. It's like,
yeah, it's the same for
you know. It's fine. Anyway, you have to be there. You have to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. All right. I think we need to wind it up. We've been maundering on for almost an hour now.
I know, right?
Because we're awesome. Okay. Mr. Host, wind it up.
Mr. Host, I don't know. Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah. Hey. Thank you for joining Fun with Scotch podcast. And this is episode 34, I think. And
still, it might be so 34 glad, and a half when we went so long.
I'm so glad that you actually like stayed this long and listened. And join us again next week. Next time.
I won't say week.
Yeah, it could be a while. Next time. And I don't know. We'll figure out what we're going to do between now and then.
All right.
So.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Take care.